listening to Jewish Independent Talk Radio with your host every Sunday, Binyamin Korn. We have a wonderful guest this evening. Nevet Basker is an independent consultant, trainer, speaker, policy advisor, and community organizer like me, based in Seattle, Washington. Nevet was born and raised in Israel. She served in the Israel Defense Forces and moved to the United States to attend graduate school. She worked for over a decade at Microsoft in marketing, product management, and business development, and most recently as director of business development for the security business unit. Like Microsoft, Nevet is based in Seattle, Washington. And in her various roles at Microsoft, Nevet developed messages and communication strategies, marketing programs, and so on and so forth. But more germane to our topic, Nevet co-founded and was the first regional chair of Stand With Us Northwest, which is a very wonderful Israel education organization. Nevet is with us today to talk about the recent campaign by anti-Israel forces in Seattle to put ads on Seattle transit vehicles, buses and such, claiming that Israel is responsible for war crimes. And this campaign, or the attempt to initiate these ads, generated really an excellent response from a number of quarters within the Jewish community in Seattle. The ad campaign was not allowed to move forward by Seattle Transit and is considered something of a victory for pro-Israel forces in Seattle and in the United States. Nevet, such a pleasure to have you on Jewish Independent Talk.
Pleasure to be with you, Binyamin.
I didn't even get into all of the things in your resume about your degree from Hebrew University, your MBA from Stanford, your BA in political science, all of these wonderful things on a resume for an Israel activist and an important member of the Seattle Jewish community. Are you and your colleagues out there feeling flush with victory in having been able to derail this anti-Israel campaign, or what's the emotion at this point?
We're very pleased that, as one commentator put it, sanity prevailed in Seattle on these bus ads.
Right.
The battle was definitely a success. The war is a much bigger and longer one about the general attitudes and delegitimization efforts that try to paint Israel as a pariah state. And this is just one small battle in that ongoing issue that we face all the time. And Seattle is one of the places where we see it. There are other cities that have similar dynamics, but Seattle is one of those hubs of delegitimization and centers for anti-Israel campaigns and efforts.
Why is that?
Seattle is a liberal community, and the Jewish community here is small and diverse and sometimes split on the issue of Israel. We see similar things in Boston, in Toronto, in San Francisco, and in other kind of more liberal cities. So there is somehow this notion that being progressive means you believe the greatest evils in the world today are global warming and Zionism, and mm-hmm. we're trying to counter at least the second half of that.
Okay, yeah, don't take on global warming quite yet, okay?
No, we are very much focused on the campaign to delegitimize Israel, and the organizations and individuals involved in this effort here are mostly trying to educate and inform media, policymakers, decision makers, and the public at large about Israel and its story.
Of course. Who is behind this campaign? And give us a sense of the time frame over which this developed. I know that it was sort of the ads were supposed to start running in the last week of December, I believe.
The ads were scheduled to run on to start on December 27th. Now, just in the way of background, the ads were going to be on Metro Transit buses. Metro is operated by King County, which is a very large county, about 1.9 million people in the greater Seattle area who are part of King County. And this is the public transit system that operates buses and other forms of transit within King County. So it's a very large public transit system that accepts, as many cities do, advertising, both commercial and non-commercial, on the sides of buses.
Okay, and these ads were being placed by whom?
This was an organization calling itself the Seattle Mideast Awareness Campaign. It is a group of local individuals whom we know, and we face them all the time. They're the same people whom we debate in schools, the same people who respond to our comments in the paper, and we respond to theirs. When there are Israeli performers who come to Seattle and artists, they're outside with flyers talking about war crimes and civil rights violations.
Are
we
these,
know the people involved.
It's are not, these people mostly people who are of American background, of Middle Eastern background? What's the mix here?
It's mixed. There are some Arab-American, Palestinian-American, and Muslim-Americans in the mix. There are some Jewish people in these efforts. And there are many who are just concerned citizens. There are some who come from mainline Protestant churches. Their common thread seems to be their opposition to Israel, not only Israeli policies, but Israel's very legitimacy is what they want to debate.
Right. It's not a question. You know, I've seen pictures of some of the ads that they wanted to run. The ads accuse Israel in very lurid kind of depiction of war crimes.
Yeah, that's exactly. The headline was Israeli War Crimes, Your Tax Dollars at Work.
Lovely, lovely.
So in eight words, they managed to put both the war crimes accusation, oh, and there's a photo of some children standing next to a destroyed building. There's some rubble, the implication being, obviously, that Israel did this to destroy houses of children. There's no context. There is nothing about what this means, about why there was a military operation in Gaza 2 years ago.
It's just propaganda, yes.
Sorry?
Just propaganda, agitprop. Yes.
It's actually worse than that, because they're advocating for a particular policy. Their tax dollars at work argument is about American foreign aid to Israel, that somehow funds these terrible things that they're depicting in the ad.
Right. And I know that you are on the board of APAC, the America-Israel Public Affairs Committee, out in your part of the country. APAC, of course, lobbies and has lobbied for many years for American aid for Israel. I know you're also involved with the Anti-Defamation League, which monitors and responds to anti-Semitic type of propaganda. Was there a general feeling that this was beyond the pale, that this was anti-Semitic or at least rabidly anti-Israel within the mainstream Jewish community in Seattle?
Yes, it was. It was a very, very broad coalition that came together to try to respond to these ads. This was seen as crossing the line from legitimate criticism and debate to demonization of Israel. The Seattle community is especially sensitive to that kind of demonization because we have been traumatized as a community by a terrible tragedy here 4 years ago when a local man walked into the Jewish Federation of Greater Seattle and murdered a woman and gravely injured five others, including a pregnant woman, saying he was angry at Israel's policies. He had no direct ties to Israel or to that region, he was angry at Israel's policies, and he went on a murderous shooting spree at the Jewish Federation.
Well, you call it a tragedy. I would say that it's really an outrage. A tragedy implies no moral dimension to it. But what happened to this murderer?
He was tried and convicted. It took two trials. It was a hung jury the first time, but he is serving a life sentence for the murder.
Okay, so this is a community which has faced a terroristic type of attack by a politically motivated individual, and now is facing or was facing the specter of more anti-Israel propaganda. You mentioned that the ads were supposed to run beginning the last week of December. When did the community first become aware of the impending campaign?
It was just a week before they were scheduled to run. On December 19th, a number of the organizations were contacted by a local TV station and asked to comment. And the story ran on Friday evening, when many of our community aren't necessarily watching the TV news, about these proposed ads to run on the side of buses starting a week later.
Well, first of all, it's good to hear that few people are watching television Erev Shabbos. That's good news. Now, so the community had 1 week, essentially, or less, to respond to this?
Yeah, it was 1 week, and it was the week before Christmas, I will point out,
right,
when many
right.
of the decision-makers, both within our community, within Metro, within King County, everybody seemed to be on vacation that week.
Okay. Were you one of the first people to find out about this, or were you sort of part of a larger group?
I was part of an effort that involved a number of different organizations and activists. Stand With Us was one, the Jewish Federation of Greater Seattle, the AJC chapter here locally, and a number of others, the ADL, whom you mentioned, got together on that Friday afternoon to try to come up with a response or a strategy to deal with this. The story hit that night, and by the next day was at least the local press had been paying attention, and that's when we started to mobilize activists to try to respond to this, to protest it, to defend Israel's actions, or at least to make sure that there was some semblance of balance.
I know that there were some organizations that wanted to respond by printing counter ads, by having them posted on Metro. One of them I saw mentioned was the David Horowitz Center, and David has been a guest on our program here. Why was it ultimately decided, I guess, to go to Metro to say you shouldn't run these ads?
So what happened was Metro's line started getting inundated with protests from not only from Seattle. This started making headlines all over the world. The emails were forwarded, the social networks mobilized, the various organizations put out alerts, all of those organizations that I mentioned put out newsletters, and those were widely forwarded. And people started to complain to Metro and to the King County Council, saying, this is outrageous, it's slanderous, it's offensive, it's insightful. Another strategy was that a number of organizations submitted ads that said, well, if you can run anti-Israel ads, you can run pro-Israel ads or anti-Arab ads. And that was seen as by Metro people as a threat. I'm aware of three sets of ads that were submitted. One from Stand With Us, which was more about, is called Say Yes to Peace. And it was a pro-Israel, pro-peace, pro-coexistence, let's have dialogue and not this kind of one-sided incitement.
Right.
Two others were from non-local organizations. The David Horowitz Freedom Center that you mentioned submitted an ad depicting a bus that was going up in flames, and the headline said, Palestinian war crimes, your tax dollars at work. And there was an ad submitted, again, not a Seattle organization, but the American Friends of Democracy Initiative submitted another ad with a very strong headline saying, "In any war between the civilized man and the savage, support the civilized man. Support Israel, defeat Islamic Jihad."
Okay, so here is, I'm just trying to imagine the pickle that the Metro authorities found themselves in, inundated with phone calls and emails, as you put it, from around the world, proposals for competing inflammatory, in some cases, ad campaigns. And there they are, and as you mentioned, even some of their principals out of the office, needing to take a decision quickly about how to respond. And their response? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The first thing was that they have a policy against ads. They have a policy for, Metro has a policy for what ads they will accept. And they won't accept, for instance, anything that promotes, they won't accept alcohol or tobacco ads. They also won't accept ads that, quote, interfere with public safety or insult specific groups to the point that a riot could be incited, vandalism could occur, or public safety could be threatened.
Right. It's like, so, you can't shout fire in a crowded theater,
exactly,
even though we have the First Amendment. Yes.
Exactly. And one problem was that the volume of calls, they received thousands of phone calls protesting these ads, and that shut down over that weekend and the week before Christmas the rider information lines. So it had already disrupted service. If you're trying to get through to find out which bus goes from A to B and you can't get through because people are protesting nasty anti-Israel ads, that's already a disruption of service.
Right. And so go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then a couple of the council members weighed in and wrote letters to the King County Executive, who is the elected official who oversees Metro and the entire county's operation, saying, "This is outrageous, this is inflammatory." One of the King County council members, who's also an attorney, talked about the danger of this kind of misleading rhetoric, and actually cited that murder at the Jewish Federation, and asked that Metro reject these ads because they are a breach of public safety, peace, and order. So some of the council members who were in town took very strong, made very strong statements against these insightful and hateful ads.
Okay, and then ultimately we know that Metro decided to, what would you say, initiate a new policy?
So this story started, this story broke on a Friday night. The following Wednesday, Metro officials met with leaders from the Jewish organizations that I mentioned before, those that had taken a lead on the ad issue.
Mm-hmm.
And they heard the concerns, and they were frankly very surprised.
Why? Why surprised?
That
we're concerned that people are accusing Israel of war crimes?
They're a bus service. Okay.
Right.
Their idea
okay.
of an emergency is a snow day.
Right. They're not foreign policy analysts.
They don't
right.
get involved in foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. It's just not. And many of the senior people weren't even around that week. It's 3 days before Christmas.
Right.
And so they listened to the concern. They didn't commit. They kept saying, you know, why is this a big deal? What is going on? Why are we getting phone calls from Israel?
Why is this a big deal? Yeah.
And then they looked at the ads that were submitted and said, wait a minute, if we accept these anti-Israel ads, we also have to take the pro-peace ads, which look okay, and the anti-Arab ads, which could really get us into some trouble.
Right.
And so on Thursday of that week, the 3 days before Christmas, the King County executive put out a statement basically rejecting all non-commercial ads on buses for 1 month, putting everything on hold, and asking Metro to come up with a new policy for non-commercial ads by the end of January. His letter says that there's a press release from the King County Executive Dow Constantine saying, I have consulted with federal and local law enforcement authorities who have expressed concern. Metro sells advertising to raise revenues to provide transit service. Given the dramatic escalation of debate in the past few days over these proposed ads and the submission of inflammatory response ads, there is now an unacceptable risk of harm to or disruption of service to our customers should these ads run.
I'd just like to remind our listeners or those who are just tuning in that we're on the line with Nevit Bhaskar, who is talking about the anti-Israel bus ad campaign that was proposed for Seattle at the end of December. The ads were supposed to start running. And Nevit is joining us on the line here at Jewish Independent Talk. Nevit, you are expecting, do I take it, that the policy that Metro will announce at the end of January is in line with the interim proposal to ban all non-commercial bus ads?
I think they will have to accept non-commercial bus ads. If a hospital wants to advertise its services, it should be able to do that on the side of a bus. If any kind of a community or a political, you know, during our election cycle, we saw a lot of political ads on buses. And advocacy ads are also perfectly appropriate for or against any particular policy or position. They need to come up with
a formula.
A policy. I'm sorry?
A formula, yes.
They need to come up with some guidelines about what is acceptable and unacceptable. And as a government entity, it's the county government that runs these ads. They are bound by legal requirements and constraints to make sure that whatever guidelines they come up with are content neutral, so that whether you're pro or against any particular policy or position or entity, the same rules will apply.
Right. I imagine from a legal point of view, it will come down to a question of balancing First Amendment issues against public safety and order issues, for which obviously they have a primary mandate.
Their primary mandate is to provide transit service. I mean, they're the bus service.
Right, but safe bus service, service
safe,
that's not going to
an effective bus service.
Correct.
Would be their primary, and they absolutely can't and shouldn't restrict any type of political speech, even hateful, even slanderous. They can't pass a law not allowing it, but they don't have to promote it or provide a platform for hateful or bigoted speech.
Well, I think there might be ground for disagreement there that they cannot prohibit hateful or belligerent speech. We'll see how it works out, but I get your point. I'm just wondering if they don't have a mandate to restrict that.
This is out of my area of expertise.
Okay.
I was focused on the mobilization of the activists, on the grassroots campaign, on getting the word out, which it got very, very broadly. I maintained a web page on my site, which is broaderview.org. There's a whole page devoted to the Seattle bus ads and to trying to keep track of all the press coverage and the blogs. This went very, very broad.
Yes, I would like to remind our listeners, the website address is broaderview.org. Well worth visiting, and there's a wealth of information on there, including more information about our guest today making it well worth a visit and a click or a couple of clicks of the mouse and some time spent on there. Nevit, where do things stand looking forward? Not just with the ad campaign or the rejection of the ad campaign, but of the broader issues of defending Israel within the community.
That's the real question. On this ad campaign, I don't know where it's going to go. The instigators have already been in the press complaining about censorship. The ACLU has made a statement in support of all advertising as a matter of free speech. But whatever happens here, this is just one piece of the broader delegitimization campaign, the effort to paint Israel as a pariah state and to blur the line between legitimate criticism and demonization of Israel and denying its very right to exist or to defend itself or to be a normal country like any other.
My sense of things is that this campaign is really in full swing on many American college campuses. We've had stories about hummus from Israel being banned or attempting to be banned in markets, things of this nature. Are there other things going on that we should be wary of?
This is part of a very broad campaign of the general label given to it is BDS, for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. We've seen it here in Seattle with grocery co-ops boycotting or attempting to boycott Israeli products. We've seen it in schools and, as you mentioned, on university campuses where sometimes the tone of the anti-Israel rhetoric is very shrill and very painful. We've seen it sometimes in the media. It's an ongoing issue. And one of the key things that we have to do is make people understand what is legitimate and what is demonization. There's a very big difference because I think that's what brought our community together on this one, was that words like war crimes are demonization. And this was an issue. It doesn't matter where you stand on any particular policy. You can criticize and debate any country's policies. But calling something war crimes when a country was defending itself from years of rocket attacks, that crosses the line. And that's what we need to educate and make people aware. This is a part of a much broader campaign.
Nevit Bhaskar, so grateful that you were able to join us today, but even more so that you have taken up and dedicated so much of your time and your life to this work, defending the legitimacy, the good name of the only Jewish state, the only democracy, the only country in the Middle East that tries to practice human rights and tries to respect life rather than celebrating death. Nevit, I wish you all the best. You are always welcome here on Jewish Independent Talk. And if there is anything that we on the East Coast here can do to help you in your fight out there, just give us a call. Nevit Bhaskar, her website is broaderview.org or .com.
.org.
Broaderview.org. You've been a wonderful guest, and thanks for joining us here on
Thank
Jewish
you so
Independent
much for your
Talk.
Support.
All the best.